You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, winner of the ShareCare Emmy Award for Social Storytelling and the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie, and today we're going to talk about training and misconceptions about being an excellent trainer, because the best trainers aren't always the best trainers. And you don't have to be the best trainer to be the best trainer for your client. Why am I bringing this up? Because I get people that reach out to me all the time and they're very concerned that they're not good enough. They're not good enough that their clients are paying all of this money. And you're paying this money, and I wouldn't pay that much for me, but you are paying that much for me. I feel like I'm doing a disservice, that I don't know enough, that I'm not smart enough, that I'm not certified enough, I'm not educated enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough. You are enough. But let's discuss this a little bit before we do. I'm going to ask you to do a favor, which is to go to the show notes on whatever podcast platform you're listening to and to click the link on the survey. The survey is feedback we get from you about this show, not just this show, but if you listen to any of the other NASM podcast network shows, then to give us feedback on those, what it is that you like, what's not working for you, what it is that you like. When we do this, you talk about these things and that makes me so happy. And then you talk about these other things and I'm like, why about we're going to talk about this? All right. So just a little feedback from you. You could be entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card, but don't do it for the money. Do it for the greater good, but also for the Amazon gift card to see if you could win that. So, and if you do, let me know. Let me know. I'd be interested to see what type of equipment, you know, gym equipment you're buying because of it. So anyway, let's get into the talk about trainers. And, you know, we want to be the best of the best. We want to be good. We want to be ideal. We want to be able, whatever I'm doing, my clients, they never have any issues. They all lose all the weight that they want. They're all getting all the muscle they want. And even though a results-based outcome trainer would be delightful, it is very hard. Not all the time are people getting what it is that they want. Some things are very difficult to accomplish, even with a personal trainer. We're still trying to help them get their goals, but ultimately, we have to look at it and say, maybe it's not just the programming that gets them there. Because people need good fitness professionals. But what really people need sometimes go beyond how good you are at writing a program. Because there are a lot of people out there that you're just exhausting group exercise instructors, exhausting trainers, that there's no method to the madness. As long as you're sweating and you can take your pulse from your teeth, that's how hard your heart is pumping, then you burn some calories, right? It doesn't make you a good trainer. But you can also do things that make you an exceptional trainer for your client. And I'll say that to say this. One time I was working with a company, and there was a guy that rented space that came in to train his clients, and he had some, it was some made up certification. It was literally something that you could take the test first and you had unlimited attempts, and after you pass it, you pay money and you get your certification. We didn't accept it, but because it was a residential building, then the people were like, hey, he's my trainer. I don't really care what you say, it's my building, my trainer, I want this guy. So the guy came in and trained. I don't think that he was particularly good at training. I didn't like exercise selection. I thought there were a lot of really bad choices, but I see why they wanted him. Now, he may not have been a very good trainer, but he was a great trainer. And what do I mean by that? There were things about him that were so undeniably remarkable that made me think, Well, if I didn't know the difference of good training or not good training, I just went on how that person made me feel and I still got a good workout in. That's my guy. That's my guy. First of all, he was incredibly attentive. He was incredibly attentive. What an amazing job at never having his hands on his hips, never putting his phone in front of his face, always engaging with his clients, always there kind of pointing and guiding and cueing. Delightful. Very, very good at that. What else did he do? He was so supportive. He was so supportive in what it is that his people needed. He gave quality feedback on what it is that they were doing. He was a cheerleader when they needed cheering. He was a drill sergeant when they needed pushing. He didn't let people get away with things, but he gave them what they need. I thought he was so good at that. No matter how much I didn't like what he was doing, that he was just making up exercises, at some point I was like, he is doing a good job with his clients. I'm not condoning the lack of skill set. I am just saying that he was really good for these people. And another thing he was, and I know this for a fact, he was a great communicator, always was putting his sessions in the calendar. It would show up on there. He would send them text messages. Remember when I told you, I sent you a message earlier this week just asking you about your meal plan. And I mean, he was so good. And then one day I did see him working with somebody and they were doing box jumps. And this person is definitely not a box jump up. Maybe could have gotten a jump down from it, but I wouldn't even program that. And then eventually they jumped up and their feet didn't make it over the box and they scraped their knee at their shins on the box, just the like a Venetian blind. It just rolled the skin right up the shin. It was awful. It was terrible. And I kind of think about that and I was like, well, that guy is another example of not being a good trainer. Certainly he was very attentive after we had to doctor up the legs, but I think the other thing to add to this is he still would have been a decent trainer had he not hurt someone. So let's start with this one and let's rewind. Don't hurt anyone. So if you lead with that and you say, I don't feel good, I'm not the best trainer, I feel the most comfortable with training, I work out on my own, but these people, they're paying me a lot of money and this is what I might do for my workouts, but then I read at NASM and they have all of these things and the levels and the phases and I know it's a lot to take on. So the first and foremost is you don't hurt anybody. You don't hurt them. Make sure you care for the people that you're working with. If you're working with somebody and it looks like, I don't know if I can do that jump. And oh my gosh, he was like, yes, you can. And he was cheerleading and cheerleading and cheerleading and they couldn't. You can't cheerlead something that won't happen. And that amount of anxiety that they had even trying to make that jump was clearly evident to me. I had the first aid kit ready. Y'all, don't hurt anybody. And then add the attentiveness and the support and the great communication, because you don't have to have the best programs necessarily to change lives. You can change lives. You can influence change. You can get people to move on their own. They move with you. You make the difference in their lives. Did you put together, or did they produce and reduce, and did they do it at this tempo, and were they in the sagittal plane and the transverse plane, and then they had the frontal plane, and we did every single plane of motion, and we did it close to the body and far from the body and lever lengths, and didn't have to be the best one to change somebody's life. You don't have to work with celebrities. You don't have to work with professional athletes. Oh my gosh, trainers love that. This person works with celebrities. This person's working with professional athletes. This person works with... It's cool. In fact, like, it's cool enough that when people find out that you do that, they're like, oh, that's really cool. And then what? Nothing. And then nothing. There are some people who have ridden the coattails of celebrities and have become really well-known trainers. And there are a lot of people who train really well-known people and celebrities, and you never know who they are. And sometimes they're really good at training, and sometimes they are really attentive and really supportive and great communicators, and they just make sure that they don't hurt them. You don't need to work with those people. You know what you don't need? You don't need to have a lot of followers on your social media platforms. There's so many people think that if I just had 5,000, if I had 10,000, I had 20,000, I had 80,000 followers, 156 million followers. Oh, the amount of training. Oh, stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that there are, you know, 8,000 people that live in Indonesia that follow you if you're a trainer. Unless you're doing virtual training, then you could probably get some of that business. But if you're doing the one-on-one training and you think that you need followers, I've known people, like, engagement in their social media platforms super low. They're not engaging. They have a lot of followers. They have zero followers for the content. You can have just a few hundred followers and they follow you because you produce good content and they're in your area. They want to train with you. Then all you do is produce content for your audience. That's how you identify whether or not you want to be that person, is you produce content for the people who already work with you. Then the more people like that will start to follow you. And then they can find you because you're speaking directly to them, not to the masses. Stop it. Stop that. And when you work with them, you've identified that this is the type of training that I like to do. These are the type of clients that I like to have. And am I the best trainer in the world? Stop with the best trainer in the world. I think you should always strive to be better. You should always strive to keep up and what's new and what are the new things that are out there. That's why we do continuing education. You don't just get your certification and then get to walk away. You got to keep learning because there's new stuff out there all the time and you can know it and you can learn it. And that's part of the progress that we make as fitness professionals. But you don't have to be the best trainer. You just got to be the best trainer for your clients. What does that mean? I don't care who you are. You need to be attentive. I don't care who you're working with. You need to be supportive. You need to be excellent in your communication. I love cueing. I think that cueing people is really important, but I also think that some clients don't need cues as much, and some people are greatly annoyed by it. I had trainers work with me when I was managing, and I would just say, you know, take me through a workout, and some of the guys were really good, and then and some people were very, very communicative with their cues. Like, okay, do this. Make sure your foot's here. Short foot, squeeze that glute. Hold that position. Belly button in. Good, that good. Chin tuck, chin tuck. Good, good. Chin tuck, chin tuck. That was chin tuck, belly button. And I was like, oh my gosh, shut up. Oh my gosh, you're driving me crazy. At some point, I'd like to work out. So chin tuck, belly button in. Belly button in, chin tuck, glute tight. Give people the freedom to do their movement, cue them as needed. But for me, that was, I couldn't stand that training. For his clients, the guy that would train me like that, they loved it. They loved it. So is he the best trainer for me? No, that drove me crazy. Was he the best trainer for his client? Yes. That guy could have moved away, come back 2 years later, and all of those clients would have left whoever they had been training with to go back to their old trainer because they loved him so much. That's another reason why when you leave to go out of town, and don't worry about saying, hey, can you cover my clients? Because you're like, I don't want to give him to that person because he's a much better trainer than me. He may be a better trainer. She may be technically a much better trainer than you. but you're their trainer. You're the one that's been attentive and supportive and been a great communicator. You have cued them. You have gotten them through the woes that they have had in front of them about coming to the gym. Your support means everything. You are important. Stop selling yourself short. Get better at training. But for those of you who are really good technically at training and you don't have a lot of business, it might be because the challenges of how attentive you think because your programming is stellar, you didn't need anything else. You didn't need to be as attentive when they're doing their exercises or as supportive. You didn't need to communicate throughout the week with them. You didn't need to really cue them or focus on some of the stuff that they were doing in real time because your programming was so good. And yet, they're the ones with the clients and you're the one saying, how are they getting all the clients? I'm the better trainer. Are you? Are you? That's a question to ask. You can be a stellar trainer and still be a bad trainer. And you can be a really average trainer and be absolutely stellar because of who you are for your clients. And then all I say to that is, as you learn better, do better, and keep learning. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, share with your fitness friends and family. You want to reach out to me, you can do so. Hit me up on Instagram or Threads at dr.rickritchie. Or you can email me, rick.ritchie@nasm.org. Y'all keep inspiring people to fitness. Thanks for listening. This has been the NASM CPT Podcast.